Hello and welcome to another episode of Never a Straight Answer, the podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm Gaz, and as always, well, we found him trapped under a terrace. He's Taylor.
Oh yeah. Thanks for digging me out there.
No, yeah. But they don't call you Dug Up for nothing.
Well, that is true. That is a little nickname they keep giving me. That they give me. Years ago, how's it going, bro? Yeah, man. Yeah, not
you
too
had a good
bad.
Week.
Yeah, interesting week.
It's been an interesting couple of weeks, hasn't it? I've got to say.
It has.
Yeah. The less we go into that, the better.
Yeah.
Other
just
than
call
that,
it an interesting week.
It's been an interesting week throughout the news and all sorts of stuff this week.
Yeah, loads of stuff.
Have you been doing anything in particular? I've watched a couple of good shows that I want to chat about, and I watched Captain Marvel.
Right.
This
week.
Captain Marvel.
Is it any good, then?
It's really good. Yeah.
I'll have to try and catch that. I meant to catch that. I've seen that the other week.
It was decent. I mean, I've seen a couple since watching the film. I've seen a couple of reviews where people have kind of, you know, obviously they give you, you know, the first sort of thoughts.
Yeah.
And seen some positive, some negative, but I thought it was good. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give that.
Definitely worth a watch. And then obviously you've got Avengers coming out next month.
Is it next month?
Yes. So obviously you've got to see Captain Marvel because it ties in. So
right,
you've got to go and watch
it.
Been watching that Umbrella Academy.
Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, it's a new Netflix show. I shouldn't be doing this in entertainment news, but I mean, this is what I've been doing. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's a good sort of show. It's kind of the original comic, or the original story was done by one of the guys out on My Chemical Romance.
Okay.
And not that that's a selling point or anything.
No, it's definitely
not. But like, the story's really good. It's kind of like an X-Men sort of heroes slash... It's kind of Project MK Ultra, like where these kids were experimented on and stuff like that, and they've got powers, but they're all kind of psychologically damaged. Do you know what I mean?
So it's
a good show, and then obviously there's a build up to a finale, which I'm not going to spoil because it was brilliant and very good CGI as well. So check it out for TV.
Yeah.
It was awesome for, you know, like, the, you know, for the level of production value.
It was like a film action kind of program.
And it was a good amount of episodes. So I think it was 10 episodes. Okay. So it was like, kind of didn't feel like you were getting a lot of stupid filler episodes
And it was its first season.
Yeah, and it's a new Netflix show. Yeah. So check that out, Umbrella Academy.
Umbrella.
Other than that, this week's been quite a pretty slow one.
Yeah.
Been doing a lot of research, bit of digging into stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of trying to promote the podcast as much as I could.
Yeah.
Which Sorry about that. But there's been a lot of interesting news this week.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen anything you want to talk about?
I got a few. Well, let's go with this one first. Right. Those from the US. New reports just come out from the EU saying that... US citizens travelling to Europe will need a visa from...
I heard this.
2021.
So if you're going on holiday to Europe, you're going to need a visa?
Yeah, for 26 of the countries.
Is that
one
for...
Of the countries,
are they going to kind of have this as any extended period of time? Like, so it's going to be... So, obviously, people go on holiday for generally 2 weeks.
Well,
I mean, are they going to have, like, exceptions for people who are only travelling abroad for...
At the moment,
anything over a certain amount of time is considered you need a visa.
Yeah. At the moment, it works out that you can have 90 days, so you've got 3 months, near enough.
Oh, that's ages. Yeah. So most people, it's not going to affect.
Yeah, which is our standard one anyway.
That's fair enough.
3 months out of the country, rest of the time in the country, done.
Right. So anyone generally just going on holiday.
Yeah.
Isn't going to need a visa
to
go abroad.
No, not at the moment.
That's what I think most people are concerned about. And when you see that headline, that's what they kind of assume.
But from 2021, yes, you will.
Really?
Yeah.
So,
you're
going
to have to go all the way through that process. before.
I suppose it's just an extra step, isn't it, in going on holiday? I mean, it's like if
you're going to
and I hope that, like, you know, your travel agents might help you out in that respect, and kind of when you're booking your holiday.
Yeah, but how much will it cost you to do that step? They're going to get a cost in somewhere along the line. So, you know, if you were paying $2,000 on your holiday last
probably
year, you're going to be paying
about $100.
Well, yeah, about
administration fees.
Yeah, exactly. But don't forget, you can do that back to the companies. You want information, you I charge you. They won't give it you, but then you don't have to give the information. You know what I mean? Because it works both ways at the end of the day.
Fair enough.
I've seen a lot of that lately, actually.
Did you realise this weekend, this week it was International Women's Day?
Yes.
Talking about, and that I did celebrate that with the Captain Marvel film.
Being
the first lady-driven superhero movie.
I've got some questions about it, though.
Oh, go on.
Well, what isn't it considered sexist, then?
Why, because there's no International Man's Day? Yeah. Well... Yeah, I can understand why it does exist.
I'm not complaining.
There's never been a movement for the guys, where they go, that reverse episode in Red Dwarf where he's like, oh yeah, the men were burning the jock straps, and it was a manist movement
I'm not complaining that women are getting more
well,
stuff
it's the year,
that.
Isn't it? It's the 100 years mark this year, so I can see why there's been a big push for it. But it's like that. I do hear this a lot with people saying, "Oh, fucking hell, we've got a new Doctor Who, and then like she's a woman, and then you've got who else?"
It's good for the change.
You know, it's like there's all these kind of like shifts. But
the shifts are forgetting now. Now it's turning the opposite way where it used to be. Ignore the women, let's just say. Now it's ignore the men. Instead of it should be
enjoying the men. There'll be a point where the men will have to have a movement of their own. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you know what?
To try and get the rights back, or at least share a sort of...
It's not really bad, but it's seeable, you know what I mean? That it's like it's infringing on men like it used to infringe on women. But... I can see if it doesn't, you know, settle down to how we're all equal, then the men are going to be doing it. It's going to happen with the men again. The men are going to be doing it, and then it's going to be ages.
We're on a kind of a seesaw.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to get.
So
that
it's
level.
Just that then the men are going to go, well, you know what? No, I'm not having this no more.
Well, no, I believe all the ladies should have.
We should be on equal scale.
We should be the same as them.
But the way the equal scale at the minute is, there's a lot more.
A fair day's pay for a fair day's work.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I'll give you
a few
facts about International Women's Day. 8th of March is usually the day every year. The first was organised by the Socialist Party in 1909 on February 28th in New York.
Yeah.
And then they decided to make it an annual event. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Other dates this weekend, which were kind of international days.
Yeah.
We had International Get Over It Day.
Get
Over It. And then we had International Meatball Day.
Meatball.
And International Barbie Doll Day.
The other week we had International Tell Your Boss I'm Sick Day.
International Pull a Sickie Day.
Yeah. It was like, what the fuck?
Interesting.
I have to remember that next year.
Other news, wow, there's been so much. Did anybody check out the Michael Jackson documentary?
Oh, please, the amount of talk that's been on about
it. Seen it everywhere, to be honest. And to be honest,
I brought this up like months ago, about a month ago, something like that, actually, a little longer. That this was actually coming out and all this stuff. But it was the thing that got me on that was at the Sundance festival,
the standing ovation.
That's the thing that got me, that made me think, you know what, there has to be something there.
Well,
and do you reckon there was something there?
Definitely. I mean, but I watched both episodes, and I found something interesting. I was watching something about the R. Kelly
interview.
And I was watching them, and I'm quite interested in the body language right? So I'm watching R. Kelly and I'm thinking, mate, your body language is not saying
totally
what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. And then I found this interview with a leading body language expert called Janice Diver. And she basically confirmed everything I'd said.
Yeah, in the way
he was shaking his head when he was answering no yes and no questions.
Yeah.
But like the reverse of what you'd expect. He's just like body language in general was just stupid.
Yeah, definitely.
They were talking about the Michael Jackson documentary.
Yeah.
And how she went in there believing that this was going to be a load of bollocks and they're just after the money and all the rest of it. But then she's come out of there scrutinising every
bit.
Action they made. Yeah. You know, we're like, and she said, no, these kids were telling the truth. They're legit. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it's quite interesting.
Yeah, and how come they didn't take her advisement then?
Well, you know she's seen it afterwards, hasn't she? This but, she's just like somebody who's come in and watched it just like...
Well, yeah, you would have thought that they would have, the authorities would have brought in someone like that. So either the person who did it at the time was his job or her job.
Yeah.
Or there was a cover-up. I think,
like you say, it's like, I think a lot of the parents in that documentary were taking the blame. Yeah,
yes.
Right. And they were saying, I don't know how I could have missed it and all the rest of it. I'm a shit parent and made a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. But the kids, like the lads, they seem to be kind of like, well, I love the guy. And it was like, they couldn't say any bad things about him. And it's
didn't
like,
know better.
They realised that what was happening to him was abuse.
Yeah.
But really, it was kind of
fun,
they were kind of invested into it as much as he was
because he kept turning round. If I remember rightly, like the lads were saying that he would, after he'd done the abusing, after a while, he'd make the child believe that the child was the one that started it off, not him. And when you remember when you did this to me, remember when you did that to me. And it's like his psychological warfare,
of course it is.
Basically.
It's basically, it's brainwashing.
Yeah.
And that's what
I
think when we go back to this R. Kelly thing, that's what they're trying to push about these girls and saying that they've been brainwashed by R. Kelly and all the rest of it. So,
there's a lot of that around now, but people have been brainwashing us for fucking generations.
I found this article about Cliff Richard, right?
Yeah.
And Sir Cliff now, he's backing a push for an anonymity for those accused of sexual offences.
That's a problem.
So why, I mean, I know he was kind of targeted and he was accused and there was helicopters around his house.
He got paid out for it, though.
And he got a big, he kind of won a court case, didn't he?
Yeah, he lost more money doing the court case, actually.
Mm. Well, he's basically now saying that there should be more strict guidelines about when you're arrested for these types of crimes.
Yeah.
That you're not thrust into the limelight as straight away as being one of these people, right? Because until proven guilty,
actually in Europe it's guilty. You got to prove yourself.
Well,
innocent.
That kind of says a lot of things in the negative as well to me because it's like you don't want to be under that pressure, like and being accused at the same time. So what are you trying to hide? Why are you spearheading that campaign, right?
Yeah,
but then on the flip side, you were saying, which I totally agree with, it's like, well, if you're not thrust into the public light, then how does that kind of get that across
the
to...
The victims coming out.
The victims, yeah, exactly.
Saying,
these people who have been in trouble or, like, you know, been in trouble with that sort of thing, you know, and
so
when,
that's for victims
when,
to come
when
forward.
The it's come out into the press, then more victims have come forward and said, well, actually, I didn't have the bottle to come out and say it.
Yeah, Jimmy Savile, look at all the ones that have been... Cheryl Smith, what's
obviously,
his name?
Like it's kind of helped them come out, and then there's been a stronger case against them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're covering it up until they've gone to court, then you've got
case
a week
is weak.
Your case.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's gonna collapse in the first fucking week if you've only got certain bits of information.
It's crazy, man. I don't know why they do this stuff.
Well, they only need two bits of information, two bits of evidence to take you to court, but it still doesn't mean that you did something. You could have been walking by somewhere and just dropped your DNA. You know what I mean? It's a case of fighting the corner.
I like that. I was just walking by and I dropped my DNA, officer.
But people have been arrested for that kind of stuff.
What, and for just like, having spitting?
They're just having their DNA in the area of the crime.
What, they were pulling their hair out or spitting whatever?
You know, someone could have had a fight a couple of hours before.
Drops of blood.
Blood's fucking hair, you know, your DNA. I mean, even when you speak, you're dropping DNA. So, you know what I mean? Every time you breathe.
True.
So it's hard to get away from saying that someone weren't there when they was with
your
DNA.
Here's a mad story. Yeah, right. Yeah. Talking about dropping your DNA in random places.
Hey up.
Early this week, marine biologists in Brazil were stunned to find a humpback whale had washed 50 feet ashore on a remote island in the mouth of the Amazon River.
50 feet?
Yeah, the 10-ton whale had, would be... a rare sight on the tropical coast anyway.
Yeah.
So they basically just, the stumped, they just don't have a clue why it's ended up there. But the fact is that it's washed up. It's just literally in the middle of the jungle.
Look at the state of that.
Yeah, so they reckon that it's become sick and got lost.
Yeah.
And then...
What, and they then decided to go on the beach and... Well, they like, just don't know.
Well, it's probably gone up the Amazon and then kind of been washed up. But yeah, I don't know how it's managed to get that far up land.
It must have been a storm or something to push it up.
It's a big whale though, but do you know what I mean? 50 foot across the beach to get to where it landed.
That's a bit of an odd sight though,
isn't it? It's like if you were kind of just walking through the jungle and then you see a whale, it's something out of Lost.
But then
it's like, well, the polar bears are coming next. Or it's that out of, well, how would you explain this?
Well, you know about the noises in the water, and there's all kind of stuff that's been going on with like animals within the water, like, you know,
sonar and stuff like that, going up to the fucking beach,
killing themselves and stuff like this. I mean, and that big sound that's in the water that no one knows what it is. I mean, that could have an effect on, you know,
drove it crazy and wanted to get out of the ocean. And
it could have been right near him.
I think it was that scene in Hitchhiker's Guide, you know, when it was like they just think up a whale into existence.
Yeah.
And also a pot of petunias. Yeah. And it was falling through the sky. Yeah. Had to land somewhere.
Well, true.
What they should do is look around the area for a pot of petunias.
Yeah.
And that's confirmed.
I reckon it could be UFOs. You know, like cows, like taking up cows, taking their uterus and dropping them.
I've been doing all the studies on cows. We've kind of come to the conclusion. We've learned everything we could possibly learn about human probing, cow mutilation.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the whales.
Oh, they haven't finished with the humans yet.
Yeah. We'll drop him in the Amazon jungle. That'll fuck their heads up.
Either that or someone's a big fucking joker with a lot of money and gone, yeah, let's just drag this fucker across it. But then
way too much time on their hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything you want to talk about?
Well, talking of whales, funny enough, a man was almost swallowed by one.
Really?
Yeah.
In a sort of Pinocchio situation.
Yeah, basically he was swimming along on holiday. And all of a sudden, this fucking whale just come up behind, you know,
eating its plankton. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And he went in. And he must have just grabbed the side. Most of him must have gone in, or it's not swallowing. It's like playing with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So half of him must have got in. He got in, and he remembered one thing. He remembered how small humans are to the beasts that are already out there in the oceans.
Right.
And he was like, whoa, 51-year-old. He was 15-tonner as well.
A 15-ton whale?
Massive.
Was he inside it?
Yeah, he went
like,
there,
that
apparently.
Does sound like that bit in Pinocchio where he gets kind of like...
They go fast. This is the thing, they go fast in water, so it's a case of like...
It was probably going about 30, 40
so
knots.
Where did he end up?
He ended up... He grabbed onto the side and lifted himself out before he fucking swallowed.
Right, okay, so that was a fucking near miss.
Yeah, fucking damn right.
So how the hell, right, you've got all that, I mean, again, rushing back to this scene in Pinocchio, I remember when they're trying to get out of the whale's mouth and all the water's rushing in, it must have been difficult.
I've never seen the inside. Well, I've never been inside one.
A whale either. What
does it look like inside there, mate, when he's swimming along all that plankton? Do you reach the bottom?
Oh, I bet you don't bear thinking about it. I bet it's just a bit fishy in there.
Imagine if you did get like stuck in there, though.
What, in the belly of a whale?
Yeah. You'd only have a certain amount of time for your air to run out, because I'm guessing he was snorkeling.
Hmm.
So you'd only have a certain
stomach
amount.
Acids and stuff as well, like, do you know what I mean?
It's well, because it's the plankton, it wouldn't be so bad, because it'd be onto the wall.
Right.
So it wouldn't be so bad for that, and imagine all that water going in, it's not going to do the...
Oh yeah, it's going to kind of keep...
Yeah, it's going to get rid of
the acid. I reckon that you could probably comfortably, you know, get by if you found a nice little dry spot.
Yeah, but how you can breathe?
Well, I don't know, but like you say, he's going to keep open. Yeah, when he opening his mouth every 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's the airlock, yeah. Just make sure it doesn't close when you're trying to get free the fucker.
Well, talking of whales.
Yeah.
Right, I've got another story.
Well, another whale.
Yeah, but this isn't Wales the animal, this is Wales the country.
Ah, Wales.
A map bombshell could mean Wales needs to return some land to England.
Oh, yeah.
So a mountain survey says the line between the two countries has been wrongly traced on the Ordnance Survey maps dating back to 1887. So there's an area of between England and Wales. It's like one of those garden disputes. Do you know when they go, oh, I'm sorry, but like, you know, your garden fence is encroaching onto my garden by a foot, so you're going to have to take it down. Yeah, it's like they've got to redraw the lines now and work out exactly where,
you know what,
where our land is. And so they basically worked out that it's quite a fair bit.
Yeah, it's a big bit.
Well,
a couple of acres.
Yeah, but if you look at it down, right down the coastline,
yeah,
do you know what I mean, then it could work out at quite a lot. So,
but you know what, I've just because I heard this about yesterday, but I've just thought then, you know, they might be actually wrong.
How do you mean?
Well, think of it as in what's been going on with the magnetic poles and stuff like this.
Explain.
Well, with the magnetic pole shifts and it being going a lot faster than it has been over the last couple of centuries, then it could have problems with your like GPS. It gives GPS problems. It gives a lot of satellites problems. So they've got to keep, you know, updating it. Instead of leaving it for like 4 years to update, they've got to update it within like, you know, 4 months.
Yeah.
So they've got to keep updating it all the time.
Well, I think
there could be massive errors along the line.
I don't think it's all that much anyway. The terrain is, I think it's like about 12 meters or 39 feet.
Yeah, but that's like only the start. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the start of the process. I mean, especially with all the problems going on with the computer shit.
The ridge stretches for 9 miles, which could mean that there's 1.8 million square feet of land that is actually English.
Right, give it us back.
So,
give
it
us back, your thieves.
Well, no, we're all one. Well, apparently we're supposed to be the
union. We're a union. To be honest.
So does it matter?
It doesn't really matter.
Most people, like, you've got, what, Welsh pool. Loads of people emigrate to Wales from England.
Nice, you know, it's nice.
Nice place.
Nice, the valleys.
Oh, hey, totally, boy, the valleys.
Been all
good down there. Okay, that was my terrible Welsh accent.
It was.
So, yeah, interesting, though, that, you know, it's like they do these, you know, when you see these sort of border disputes, like, I don't think they're going to go that harsh about it. I don't think they're going to start kicking off and, like, you know, it's going to turn into a feud.
No. But I think it's just going to be arguments over in parliaments, and that'll be it. Like you said, we're a union. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, what we should say is we've worked out that, you know, we've
give you a little extra than we usually do.
But we're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah,
so
there's no point.
No point.
Unless you start, and then if you start, we're taking all of it.
Of course it is. Yeah, we'll take our land, you know.
I mean, but we're friends, and we've been a part of the union for over 300 years, which has been lovely.
Obviously. Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about?
Let's go with Japanese woman, oldest woman, 116.
Is she really, or is this another one of those ones where she said that she was 116 and it turned out to be a mother?
Well, according to records now, she's named the oldest woman, a living person on the planet.
Good stuff. And what's the secret, does it tell you?
Board games.
Board games?
Yeah.
So she sharpens her mind by playing board games. What's her favourite?
Some Japanese one. I couldn't remember what it was called.
Right,
I couldn't even say it if I wrote it down, to be honest. Begin with U. U-L-T summit.
Right. So how's she celebrating? Have they said, like, is he anything like?
She's going out discoing.
Yes.
Yeah, she's going to have a little disco, a little boogie, and then she wants to do a bit of windsurfing.
To be honest, when you're that old, you've seen it all. I mean, there's only so much you can do then, isn't
there?
Well,
yeah, I think she just wants to sit back in a chair, you know, have a little chinwag with the rest of her family.
God, I say, the weather is absolutely crazy out there.
It's supposed to have snowed today.
Well, it's been hailing like crazy here today. It's like I've heard it battering on the bunker door. So, yeah, so I wouldn't worry. I think it's going to start now, to be honest. Yeah. I can hear it.
Yeah, if you hear bang, bang, you know, we're having bad weather.
Have you heard about this NASA asteroid?
Yeah.
They're saying that it's going to impact, yeah. And it's on a collision course with the Earth, yeah. But they're saying, they announced this, this is another one, right? Because I've heard, I think you're talking about the one on Monday. We're supposed to have one on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is another one that this I've announced. It said that it's that on September the 22nd, 21:35, which will be a Thursday. There's a small chance an asteroid a third of a mile across will slam into the Earth. Well, so you know, put it in your diaries.
Yeah, put it in your diaries, because according to scientists who've been watching one. Go round us and basically come in, that they reckon that there's a massive chance, there's a bigger chance of it colliding with us in 2036.
Right, okay.
But if it could bounce it off, but it depends, because its orbit is not exactly straight.
It's crazy, though, because like I say, we're expecting one on Monday that they keep saying about, and it's like, every 2 minutes, we've talked about where they put these threats up. It's like, have they got a new toy that's tracking asteroids for the first time?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they can go, oh, there's one.
Yeah, But the big problem is they're still missing a load. They're still missing ones that come in, you know, like when you've got 9 hours before it impacts. Yeah, I mean, that was why they brought all this technology into looking for them, is because I think it was 1996, I think it was, that we had an impact, and we had 9 hours or 19 hours to sort it out, to work out where it was it real, was it just a fake, and it turned out that it did, and it Sahara Desert it hit.
Well, like I say, they're always hitting, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's
a lot of small ones. I mean, there's another article here that the headline's asteroid skims Earth at 4.67 miles, million kilometres an hour.
That's the problem. They can't see the small stuff. They're getting the bigger stuff, but the small stuffs are still bad.
So do you know
anything? Still come through the air and hit you on the head and go right through you.
Do you know anything about this one on Monday?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, no, neither do I. I was wondering, because, like you say,
yeah,
I did see the headline.
Because I keep hearing, because there's, like we were saying like last week, there's a lot of scaremongering. They keep saying the ones that are, like, fucking miles away, or saying that they're skimming, or they're coming in, and they're nowhere fucking near us. Yet the ones that are between us and the moon are the ones that you find out days after.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's a case of, like, I see the process of why they're doing it. They're informing people, but they're just not informing you right information. Informing you about the information, that's it.
Talking about the moon,
yeah.
There's been a bombshell report today saying that they're very certain that they've found water on the moon.
I had a little glimpse of this before.
It's quite interesting.
A lot about it.
But bombshell NASA satellites observe moving water on the moon's surface. The instruments in orbit around the moon have found evidence of water molecules bouncing around the lunar orbiter, and they think it's groundbreaking now.
Cool.
So yeah.
They've
said it is dry, isn't it? Like the whole planet, right?
Yeah.
So this incredible moon discovery is like, you know, could we not have put water up there? Because what about like kind of the gravity sort of element to it? I mean, obviously rocks, moon rocks are weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we know about kind of like the gravity on the moon's different to it is on Earth.
Yeah.
So how would water behave?
It'd be much lighter. It would be much lighter, it's much lighter atmosphere. So that's why you see astronauts bouncing.
Yeah.
Because well, it's much...
that's what I'm saying.
There's no, so, not a lot of push.
But that's what I'm saying. So it's like the having physical water on the moon, right? Would yeah. that not behave differently? To yeah, would it yeah. be not more noticeable?
So I would have thought it'd been more to the surface, more
well,
water.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Would have gone
they
to
would
the
have
surface.
Seen more water on the planet. I mean, they say the incredible moon discovery follows the long-held assumption that the surface of the moon is dry and inhospitable to liquid water. So, you know, they've been kind of saying this for years since he first kind of went up there.
Well,
so.
Yeah, and they've been finding little bits of info on it as time's gone by. I mean, there's been a lot of slowness, but I think pretty much a lot of people, majority of people, already believe that there's already water on there. You know what I mean? It's just a case of get your ass up there, prove it, done. You know, job done.
Well,
next, move on to next thing.
Well, NASA has basically has challenged the scientists to understand the lunar hydration. Astronomers now believe small amounts of surface water are bound to the moon's dusty surface.
Right.
So, you know, but it, again, it's like how it behaves on a different planet. Do you know what I mean? It's weird to think.
It's crazy to play with.
Ooh. So, yeah, it might behave like, you know...
Might even
take water up in a. You see him like if that's to be believed.
Yeah.
When you see these videos of him like weightless.
Yeah.
Like everything behaves differently.
Yeah.
So it's like
you need gravity to.
No, I'm not saying the gravity is like total. Is it 1/10 or something of Earth?
Yeah. It's about 1/10. Yeah.
So it's like obviously. It's going to behave differently to how it does on Earth.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's got to affect water flow and stuff like that. That's all I'm saying. So.
And maybe living things in it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they do reckon that a majority of our water did come from space.
Well,
mainly from like meteorites and stuff like that. And then you've got the foundations of it being hot. And then the ozone coming in, and then like, you know, sweat, then, you know, making lakes, all these chemical elements getting together. So, I'd say, I mean, the moon's been, you can see the fucker, the moon's been hit like billions of times, you know what I mean?
Course,
all the craters.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, you can see the moon, the sort of like the craters and everything on the moon's surface
Really,
just with the naked eye, can't you, really? So it's quite interesting.
Realistically, it should have more water than what we have.
Well, you never know if
apart
it's hollow. It could be an internal sea or something.
Could
you never know.
Well, we've got one, so why can't we?
Ooh, yeah, that's another theory, really, isn't it? About the hollow, hidden ocean within the hollow Earth.
Yeah, and it's like
What are you saying about that?
Yeah, well, it's.
But does that mean we've not got
possible.
A core, or is the core?
No,
kind
it just
of
means
around
that
it?
There's more cracks.
Or in it, or what?
There's more cracks underneath, basically.
Yeah, I can appreciate they probably void spaces and stuff like that,
it's
but
be
just
massive.
Generally hollow, I'm not 100%.
No, I don't believe generally hollow, because if it was, then I'd imagine other effects would happen.
And I would totally agree with you on that. I'm not sure about the hollow anything.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, there's a lot of theories about kind of what the Earth is and what
happened. Same with me, no,
kind
well.
Of... Is it in a bubble? Bells. Is it in a dome? Is it flat? Is it square? I don't know.
Well,
you never know.
Well, yeah. Well,
we do. Well, there's no point arguing with these people.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
Because I mean?
They're only arguing back in scientific format.
I would
be like, what? You fucking mash your head up.
I'm sick of arguing with you about this flat Earth business, Taylor.
I'm telling you, there's not a flat Earth.
I know. I keep saying that. Anything else on the NASA side?
Have you ever heard of a ghost galaxy?
No.
Well, they've been looking at...
Is this
at
kind
it?
Of like a galaxy that's died and then you can still see the remnants? I suppose, if you think about that, yeah.
See that flash?
What? No, is it lightning?
There's a fucking massive
outside?
Flash.
Oh, there you go.
I hope they're invading.
Oh, never mind. The aliens are coming. you know, if perceivable light, right? So say a galaxy out there could have burnt out and died long time ago, but because we can observe it, the light that it's kind of projected, then we could be seeing a galaxy that's already died out and gone hundreds of thousands of years ago.
Well, it's confusing. It's
what do they consider a ghost galaxy to be?
They think it's a living fossil.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Right, go on.
Yeah, they're considering it's a living fossil. They're weirded out about it because it's basically, they took a picture of like this galaxy and there was hardly anything in it. Hardly any like stars, planets. There was very few. And then they checked it out again and it had like proper dissipated. It looked like it was like a bit of gas that had been flung through. And they're weirded out about it. They don't understand what's going on with it. But they reckon there's about 10% of galaxies that do this.
Right, okay.
But there's still...
So is it just like now space that's kind of... maybe they've just seen like objects like small meteorites and seen them, couldn't judge the distance and assume that they were planets.
No, because galaxies are like... Well, no, they could work out and calculate what planets were around it, you know, like using Hubble and
satellites. Yeah, but what I'm getting at is...
It's too fast. Right. Far too fast. Even within a couple of million years, we took a picture of it again. It should be still looking the same. You know what I mean? And this is the thing that it's too fast. Far too fast. So that's why they've called it a ghost galaxy. Because was it there or wasn't it? You know what I mean?
They call it the Magic Man because it's like fucking.
It could have hit into a multiverse for all we know, or it could be hitting into a darkness that's on its way to us.
Ooh.
For all we know. Yeah. We do know that there is a big flashing light across the galaxy.
That's what we've just
across
seen.
The universe.
That's what you've just seen out the window.
But it never catch up with us. It'll destroy us, but it'll never catch up with us because we're going
to... It'll destroy us.
Yeah, it will.
But it'll never
destroy
catch up
everything
with you.
Within it. Unless we're in the boundary, it will never destroy us.
Yeah, there'll be no chance of that.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, we're never going to hit the boundary.
No, but the question is there another one going the other way?
Or in
every angle, because we're in supposedly a bubble.
It kind of reminds me of like a Mission Impossible scene. You know, they're trying to get through the laser grid.
Yeah, but it's in a square within a circle.
Or in Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Was that Resident Evil? I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, Resident Evil, that was little squares, yeah.
So you ain't getting through there, son.
No, hell no. And it's proved right. But, yeah, so there's loads of it. I mean, they're even talking about now about how they might have calculated it wrong, how big the universe is and how fast it's expanding. They already changed their mind about it, how fast it was expanding only a couple of years ago, that it was expanding even faster. But now they're even questioning
it. It's inflation principle, that's what that is. I was talking about that in the multiverse episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a couple of theories into it about kind of how they believe the universe was going to eventually slow down.
Yeah.
But it's not...
It's not
sped
coming
up.
Out that way.
It's sped up, hasn't it? Yeah. So, I mean, it's like travelling now faster than what we perceive as the speed of light.
Yeah.
In theory. So,
well,
we are
a ball within a circle.
We are a ball.
That's flying at like... I think it's something like 250,000 miles an hour.
We just do the Monty Python song. Do you know that?
Well, yeah.
Remember
that
you're standing on a planet that's revolving. I'm not going to do the whole song anyway, it's like that. Talking about going up to space, though.
Oh, yes.
Elon Musk.
Yes.
And the Crew Dragon capsule splashed down in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Florida on March the 8th this week. At around 8:45 estimated time, or I think that was around about 1:45 Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah.
And wrapped up a historical mission of international space travel
next
all the way to the International Space Station, or the ISS. There was no astronauts aboard. No. It was kind of a test flight dubbed DM-1, which is Demo Mission 1.
Yeah.
And it was the first rocket to be fired from Cape Canaveral for fucking ages.
Yes.
So, yeah. Because usually what they have to do is they have to go, can we come to Russia and blast off?
But there's been problems. Please. They haven't been trusting the equipment. They've been losing their faith in the equipment that the Russians have been building, basically. So it was a case of, you know, we need to get back to our own stance, and the president wants a force up there. So, you know, they've been giving us
that. There was that video, isn't there? There's that where it was Obama basically turning around to the previous president, and he was saying, "You need to give me space." And he wasn't talking. There was people who say he wasn't talking like metaphysically. He was talking, you know, like literally space. Yeah. He wasn't talking like, you need to give me a bit of room here, mate. Yeah. You know, he was talking. When he said space, he meant space. And now it's funny that, you know, they've come up with this Space Force now. Now, Space Force, I think they probably had it going for ages. And now it's at a point where people are asking questions, so they've got to kind of announce it. So it's like, how do you know that these guys weren't up there doing whatever anyway? Like,
it was supposed to be 300, wasn't it? 300 in a group that's supposed to be flying out there defending the Earth.
Defending the Earth, like Flash Gordon.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? But, you know, with all the shit we've gone over the last 6 months, you know what I mean?
The way I see it is... You don't create a force unless there's a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Now, what has prompted them to go, right, now's time, we need a force.
Yeah.
We need a space force, which is going to be a new branch of the military.
Why not space science?
Yeah, exactly. Well, like
make it a bigger force.
Well, fucking Tom DeLonge's got the science part and his arts. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, it's like they're turning around and saying, we need a space force. Right, another branch of the government, which is alongside your army, you know, your Air Force, your military, your Navy, now this is going to be another branch, right?
Yeah.
So, like I say, you don't start up a force or anything like that unless there's a threat. Yeah, and that makes me think that there's something that they're not telling us. Like,
I totally agree.
In some ways, so.
I totally agree with you. I
agree with me.
I think you're right on this one.
I'm right just on this one.
I'll tell you when you're wrong.
Alright, well, that's not very often then, and I like
well,
to think.
Well, that's it.
Is there anything else you want to talk about in relation? Obviously, we were talking about last week with Ripley, the dummy that they've put put on the space capsule.
Yeah, fucking Ripley.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
We've got...
Gives you a clue though, doesn't it?
This week's second part, which is the first time we've done a second part, and I think this is going to be a good episode because we've done a lot of research into this.
Yeah.
Obviously, we did have a few people say, what are you covering them for?
Yeah,
and I think that
true.
We're not covering them in that sense, do you know what I mean?
We agree that
they are kind of
sickos.
Yeah. And, you know, but in the same respect, Harold Shipman did a lot worse, and we've already covered him.
That's true. That is true.
It's all alright, or none of it is, isn't it? True.
It is. I mean, it's like the old thing that a couple of years ago the government did a thing of, you never know what's behind closed doors.
Oh, you don't. Well, you know that's been proven, hasn't it? It's been proven that going on behind closed doors.
So many times, and it's like it's ridiculous with all this like. Paedophilia going on, all these fucking ceremonies going on with stuff, all these, you know, these psychos who want to go out and
wouldn't know, but like Taylor likes to dress up like a woodland animal on a weekend. So,
yeah,
you know,
fairing. Grab hold of a bear.
Oh, I got pull on the tail.
Oh, yeah, you got to pull the tail.
That's a joke.
If
that is a joke. I don't want to be getting like, you know,
I don't abuse animals.
like I say, anything else you want to talk about before we move on?
I think we should move on. I've got some for the extra.
Right, okay, no problem.
You're dropping stuff.
I'm dropping stuff.
Oh.
Right, well, just going back onto the recap for last week.
Yeah.
So last week, obviously, we were talking about the House of Horrors with the Fred and Rose West case. Fred and Rose... west from Gloucestershire, 25 Cromwell Street, where five bodies were found in the basement, one in the bathroom, and three in the garden, which is the nine, which were discovered at the property in 1995. Fred West, before going into court, committed suicide.
Yes.
And Rose West took the sentences of 10 murders by herself. From the 1960s, girls were going missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there was a string of disappearances, and, you know, the whole thing that happened at Cromwell Street sparked the investigations up to his previous life and where he was.
Tracked his history. And,
yeah, exactly.
Background.
Plus, Fred had actually kind of recorded an account of his life story with his defence, right? And these tapes never actually came up in court, but they were discovered later on. And like 27 years later, you know, these kind of details started coming out, and it brought light on a lot more stuff that kind of didn't get kind of
brought up
at the time. So,
pretty sick stuff.
So, going back to his kind of youth, now the guy was kind of like just your normal sort of lad. Worked on the farm where his dad kind of, his dad owned a farm, so he was like always working on the farm.
He always did that kind of stuff.
You know, and they thought he was, you know, always seen as a nice kid. But then, you know, he had a sort of a mad, upbringing because his mum was really moralistic, but his dad wasn't, right? His dad was of the nature as if you could get away with it, son.
Do it.
Right, I don't want to know, but just you know.
Yeah, get on with your life, I'll get on with mine.
Exactly.
I was just a donor, mate.
So, like I say, he had several brothers and sisters, and they basically said that he was, again, he was the blue-eyed boy of the family. He wasn't even kind of like, they all kind of thought, oh, he's the...
He was a pretty boy as well.
Yeah, well, they say he was a pretty boy. I can't see it. But, like, you know, but they said after he had a motorcycle crash at age 16, the family started noticing, like, you know, differences in his behaviour. So he was, you know, getting into fights. He was being argumentative, kind of just disagreeing with everyone. And, you know. And this family life he had was a bit kind of bizarre anyway, because I think he was kind of in a bit of an incestual sort of family.
Fucking was he?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to think, because on the surface it sounds really kind of, you know, wholesome upbringing on a farm. Where he lived in Much Markle, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of like a cider community, so like they'd all go out picking the apples and everyone knew him.
Everyone got on with everyone.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it was like everyone knew everyone's business and all the rest of it. So it was like to have like I say, what happens behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, carried on his life thinking that this stuff's okay, right? And at age 20, he was actually charged with sexual abuse charges on rape of his own sister, right? But ended up getting away with it after she wouldn't press charges, he ended up walking away from that. So obviously at an early age, he was found that his consequences for his actions were just kind of like, there was no consequences.
Well, like his father said, if you can get away with it, get away with it.
And like I say, it's like when you're brought up in an environment like that, it's like, just don't get caught sort of attitude, do you know what I mean?
Well, he literally loved his mother, didn't he, in more than one way?
Well, apparently so, but there was... a day when he was, you know, obviously he was a working lad.
Yeah.
So, like, he'd go off and he'd say, like, earlier on, I think in the last episode we talked about how he said he used his driving job to pick up girls. And he said that he was using it as a way of having an affair away from Rose. But I think this goes back down to, like...
The mother.
Well, his mother, and when he was a lot younger.
Yeah.
Because how he met his first wife...
Yeah.
Rena, Fred was doing a driving job, and he basically saw this girl at the side of the road, and he picked her up. Now she started, she looked panicked, she looked a bit of a waif and astray, and he said to her, like, what the fuck's going on, Scottish girl?
Yeah.
You know, and said, she said, I'm on the run. Yeah. I've got people after me.
Yeah.
I'm having a baby.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm expected to get picked up by the police or whatever. So
it's like
they're driving down the road and the sure as eggs is eggs, police pull him up.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, for fuck's sake, you know, like he says, tell you what, just say I'm the dad, because she's heavily pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said, right, I've come down here to find the dad and this is him and all the rest of it. So they left him to it.
Yeah.
Now, a week later, they're married. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
You say it was a marriage of convenience because, like, basically he'd she'd said, you know, to get people off her back and all the rest of it.
Get married.
He could bin her off a couple of months later or whatever.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out like that. He ended up falling for her a bit, and he ends up moving to Scotland to kind of live up there.
Yeah.
Where it turns out, Rena was a bit more to it. Yeah, she was actually a stripper and a prostitute working for this big nightclub.
Oh, shit.
And the pimp was the baby's dad, an Indian fella, or, you know, like a ethnic sort of fella.
Yeah.
Where, so it was obvious, like, the baby wasn't Fred's.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So they had to pass it off as an adopted baby.
Yeah.
Right? And this was Charmaine. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
So Charmaine basically comes into it a bit later on, which is kind of a sad story because, obviously, you know, it was his stepdaughter. Just, yeah. I mean, obviously we've talked about Heather and how she was his daughter.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of other instances with his kids. So, you know, I mean, it's not just all this poor girl.
Yeah.
But when they... So basically, like, after a while, Fred started realising that this life... He was basically a handler.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? And he was employed by the baby's dad to look after her in the nightclub and stuff. So basically, he was the
old man.
He was pimping it, yeah, right? And I mean, he kind of accepted this life and started going on with it.
Yeah. Because I suppose because of the seedy past, that he was nothing really.
Well, it's all normal, isn't it? Sort of thing. Yeah. It's like, I suppose it's glamorous as well because he's in this nightclub. Environment.
He's all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. He's got kind of, he's turned around in these tapes and said he had celebrities coming in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
it was like,
so he was,
you know, he was loving it, right? So, but after a while, he kind of got sick of her being drunk all the time and all the rest of it. And then he was kind of working, doing this other job. He was an ice cream man, right? And he says that he picked up, he seen this girl, like Anna McFall. Now, Anna McFall, he thought she was a lovely girl, but she just looked like she was down on her luck and all the rest of it. And he ended up saying, come and work for us, be our childminder. This time, he had two daughters, with one was his biological, and one was...
from the daughter,
Charmaine, the from previous, So, when, you know, he's kind of met Anne, he's kind of fell for her, but she's a bit young, do you know what I mean? So he gets around working for him as a kind of childminder and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
but after a while, he's gone, fuck this, I'm going back to Muchmarkle, which is his hometown, and he thought, I'm taking the kids with me.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, when he got back there,
the
social services said, well, unless you can find someone to look after the kids while you're working, we can't do anything, we're going to have to take them off you. And he's explained that she's a drunk and all the rest of it, and the lifestyle and all the rest of it. So, you know, he thought, I'm just doing the right thing, right? So he's brought the kids back, and not long after, Anne McFall turns up. She's got the address from Rena, and she wants to come and help him out. She ends up becoming like the nanny, right? But obviously, Fred West is not going to just be, she's just a nanny. Not long after, he's started a relationship with her, and she ended up pregnant, right?
Fucking hell, man.
So then, basically, Rena ends up finding out about this, right?
Yeah.
And she just turns up unannounced, right? She decides that, you know, he thinks fucking like, oh, I need to get Anne out. So yeah. He moves her to a different caravan site.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Right, and puts her in a caravan.
Right.
So...
Cheap, cheerful.
Yeah, well, I think he was staying in a caravan anyway, like... Do you know when he when he got back to his hometown, nowhere to go and all the rest of it? But but when he went to go and find Anne, he'd gone back to the caravan he'd put her in.
Yeah,
they were already there, and there was a guy called Rolf, which was her ex,
right?
And Rena,
yeah,
and a body in a case, right?
What?
So. He was like, what the fuck? This is from his recording, so yeah. I mean, it's like, we don't know exactly if this was what happened, but based on his testimony, yeah. So, sorry about that. So, they've decided that, you know, they need to do something, we need to get rid of this.
Yeah.
Right, he's basically took their side straight away, kind of gone along with them when they've said we need to get rid of this. It was an accident, right? So
an accident, and it's in the briefcase.
Well, a suitcase or a bag or something. Yeah, exactly. She's been obviously been fucking fingered, you know, like chopped up. So they take her to this what Fred describes as their special spot.
Oh.
Right. Now this is in a field just off a main road. Yeah. Right. And apparently this is where they used to go for, you know, outdoor fondling. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's took her to the spot and they've buried there, and they've all kind of helped, but he's kind of head fucked by it. Yeah. Right. So it comes up later on that obviously that Rena's, you know, done this.
Yeah.
This is what Rolf's saying.
Yeah.
That Rena has kind of pinned her up against the wall and basically just stabbed her, and then ended up, there was nowhere else to put her but in the suitcase.
Right.
So Rolf tells Fred that Rena stabbed Anne by mistake, and right. Fred believed her. Right.
Fucking mug.
She said she was absolutely blind drunk, and then Fred, so like I say, they took the body to the special place, Rolf dug the hole as Rena sat in the car.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll turn out that Rena would end up being the next victim.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, he kind of had a lot of love for this girl.
Yeah.
Right, and she's come to find him and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But it'd be 20 years before Rena Costello, or Rena Costello's murder or disappearance would be solved.
Yeah.
And Fred said that they were, you know, that they had their special spot as well. And I kind of wondered, because it's like, is that spot the same spot? Do you know what I mean? Like, is he going to a spot where he knows his ex is buried?
Or is it
another spot?
No, it's
because
the
bodies were buried very closely, weren't they?
Yeah,
on opposite sides of the field.
Yeah, one near a gate and one on the opposite side, like you said. But I believe that is the spot that they.
Because I in an interview I seen with him, he basically said he buried Anne in the furrows, you know, because he knew that it wouldn't get disturbed.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, but I think he didn't have much time with Rena. Yeah, because I think it was, and I think in the videos he actually talks about how the ground was too hard and he couldn't actually pick at it, because he was on his own as right? So he was using a pickaxe, but it was trying to break the ground and he couldn't, it was just
cold.
Was
it summer?
Yeah, middle of summer, baked.
Well, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
so,
true, yeah. Yeah, it'd be more heavy.
So, yeah. So they would go to their spot, and then when she was kind of coming, walking back to the car, I don't know what happened, he's just basically snapped and he smashed her head into a gatepost. She was dead instantly, so he dug a hole.
Slung her in it.
He had issues digging the hole. 10 days after the investigation started, Fred took detectives to the field in Math Markle, where he said where he could find Rena and Anne McFaw.
Yeah.
The 10th body discovered would be the body of Rena.
Yeah.
Which was Rena Costello, but Rena Costello West, because she ended up obviously marrying him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and on the 11th of June, the 11th body would be found on the 7th of June, and it was Anne.
Yeah, yeah. Right in the corner.
So it was really difficult to tell, though, because it, obviously, even though he'd said that it was Anne, and Rena, they still had to confirm those bodies as
the victim.
So it was Rena was pretty simple. They kind of managed to solve that, and we've like kind of put the identity to her
straight away. No,
but Anne was a bit more difficult.
She'd been there a little longer, hadn't she, really?
Well, yeah, and it was kind of like it took a lot of dental photo analytics. And analysing.
It would have taken ages as well, because it was all hand done, all
obviously, loads of reconstructions. And I think it was got a lot of respect for those guys, because it was like they did it without computers.
Yeah.
They did it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
And they got the results. It might have took a bit longer, but they still smashed it.
But they still get their man in the end.
So,
or woman.
So obviously now, in that meantime,
Fred's
kind of met Rose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he always wanted a mother figure. He always needed that kind of mother figure, and he didn't really fancy her either. He didn't, did he?
He basically said that. He said that he didn't fancy her. He just thought that she was kind of like, handy.
Yeah,
like she can do what she's doing. She's probably had a lot of respect for her.
Well, coming from her background as well. Well, yeah, and from his background, and. Probably, yeah, because she's come up with a background with abuse of the family and doing the same thing, basically. I was just trying to check out if there was any ritual abuse going on there.
Oh, yeah, well, I think there was, because I'll get into this in a second, but it was like Rose apparently was brought up with an abusive father who saw incest as a normal thing. So basically Fred was a similar views on the matter.
Yeah.
And they've got tapes where, you know, he said that he caught him half a dozen times.
Yeah.
Rose and her dad.
Yeah, oh,
and
yeah, yeah.
He
yeah,
felt
yeah.
like, you know, she was in loving it as much as he was.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So it's kind of, if you're kind of brought up on that and, you know, you that's the norm. Then what's that teaching your kids? And then obviously we'll go into that, because like I say, it's crazy.
So
they say like they caught him up to 6 times, and like say he thought, you know, that there was nothing wrong with it.
Because
he himself, you know, obviously had abusive was abused by his mother.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not even trying to say that this is bless him, or woe is the West, because I'm not, right?
I'm just giving you the facts.
These are the facts, and this is kind of like the psychological things that build up in the mind of a killer. And with that, if these are the kind of, if you notice anyone with these traits, then fucking ring the police.
Yeah,
because a lot of the time, these issues arise and no one does anything about him. We talked about the Harold Shipman case where they could have caught it early and they didn't. In fact, they gave him a fine.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't strike him off off the doctor's register. These were caught. They didn't. They got a fine and got released.
Yeah,
right?
This was...
They all seem to get released.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, shit. When they could have prevented that and prevented a lot of shit, right?
Yeah,
if they would have acted on impulse straight away, do you know what I mean? So
because now there won't be any victims, there'll be more bodies.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Because you need to get rid now. You can't have anyone spilling all this shit that we want to carry on doing.
Ooh.
And it's like, the psychological damage in a lot of this is just way out
there.
Yeah,
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, it seems like it was a lot more rife than we let on. And then it's like when you do get these sort of incidents with your Savills and stuff like that, and they say, oh, it was a different time.
Well, we'll change a few rules and we'll leave it at that.
Does that make it any better?
No.
So anyway, you know, last episode, basically, Fred and Rose, we talked about the kind
moving
of how they used the house as a brothel, and how Fred basically took his skills he learnt working with Rena and applied it with Rose. They said they found contact magazines with her ad in.
Yeah.
And there was also tapes where he'd film her activities.
Yes.
So obviously they had a kind of, they were known to have a warped sexual worldview.
Like their
perversions, right? And they were known about this because, like I say, when it they kind of called them the games or the sex games or whatever, but they were obviously a bit more sinister than that. When they kind of, like, you look into the family life and their so-called family of love, they had 11 kids. Only three of them weren't fathered by Fred. They were fathered by clients of Rose.
Yeah.
And in home movies in 1992, Fred was accused of rape of one of his daughters, Anne. Did he call her Anne for any particular reason, I wonder?
Oh, yeah.
But this led to the question of where was Heather?
Yeah.
Right? So when they started the investigation into where Heather was, obviously Anne had turned around and made that joke about... Obviously, she's under the patio.
Yeah.
So they started renting rooms out, basically, the West, right? Yeah. So obviously they had the brothel area, right? But getting people into the house, do you know what I mean?
Was another thing.
Yeah. So they basically wanted people living in. Right.
Yes, yeah.
And they started renting rooms out, and there was reports of people saying, like, oh, the people come, there's always someone coming and going from that house, right? There's
always some activity going on in that house.
So, a few of the people kind of have come forward and said, yeah, we stayed there, and it was kind of a bit weird. And, you know, what the reports on that house basically say is that, you know, Rose was interested in the girls as well as the boys. And many of them were having casual sex with Rose.
Yeah.
And they knew about it. And Freddie actively encouraged it. So, you know...
Oh, yeah. Mates were banging away at that one.
But when it came to, like, women...
Yeah.
She was pretty cruel, do you know what I mean? I think she took the dominant side when it comes to that. Well, and that's probably because that's how she thought women are treated. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's what Fred wanted as well. He needed a dominant woman that he could hide his little activities. So it's like a game to him. Because like his father said, if you can get away with it, who are you going to get away with it from?
Yeah, and it's mad though, because like I say, it's like when he was trying to protect her all the way through the initial investigation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden came out and went, nah, it was her, she did it all.
Yeah, because he couldn't bear losing her.
Well, how is that losing her? Because he's just dropped her, right, innit? She was under investigation at the time, but, like, she wasn't going to be arrested. It was only when he said that
that
she was brought in.
Because I believe he already knew what his actions were going to be. He was going to go to jail and hang himself.
Well, there was...
And then put it all on her. He got away with it scot-free. He's sitting there with the devil going, you're right there, mate.
Oh, you know the guy's a psycho, mate. Well, one thing that came up was an attack on a Gloucestershire beauty queen. Caroline Owens.
Yes.
Would end up being a key in terms of evidence at the trial against, the West. But over 22 years later... So basically what had happened there was she'd basically been picked up, and she'd said that she was actually friends with them. She'd been picked up once before.
Yeah, and then they offered her a job.
She ended up living there, and it's always the nanny job, isn't it, the offer? If anyone offers you a living nanny position,
there was a lot of nannies in them days.
So, like, you know, she said she had a falling out with him, and she got off. Then a couple of months later, she ran into him again.
Yes, same spot as well.
Same spot.
Yeah.
And they picked her up, and it turned... Rose basically started going mental at her in the back of the seat of the car, punching her, kicking her, all the rest of it. They've got to the point where it's turned into a
brawl
in the back of the car.
Yeah.
And they've... basically pinned her down.
Yeah.
Gaffer taped her head and arms. So basically she could... When she said she was got out of it, she was gaffer taped up to fuck. A lot of the bodies were found were like that as well. So they obviously had a method of doing what they were doing, right? So obviously the evidence is kind of dead, works alongside what they found, which obviously backs up the story that it wasn't just one of them.
Yeah.
It was the both pair of them.
Yeah, they were
both working together.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously, Rose would be included in the killings of, you know, obviously now, because he's turned round and said, "Think it, you know."
Yeah, well, it was her as well. She's a bitch. She's a little bitch.
Now, Fred and on this occasion, but basically what had happened was when that beauty queen, when Caroline managed to get free, right, she said she'd suffered abuse. She basically said that she just kind of went with it in the end because she knew that she couldn't do anything.
But it was a weird thing on how she got free, though. It was the case of like, right, she'd been put in the room, she'd been beaten and all this, and then Rose wanted to have a little play with her. Had a little play with her. Well, Fred was like doing her from behind and stuff like this. And then as soon as she left the room, Rose, Fred wanted a little bit more. But obviously she, Rose didn't want him to have any.
Ah, right, okay, yeah.
So he did his deed and then promised like if he'd like let her go that she'd come back and, you know, be the nanny and we'd be all friends and everything would be all right.
Yeah, again. He did, didn't he? Yeah, he was kind of like, oh, let's pretend all this never happened. And then it's like, well, no, she didn't. And she kind of, and they were arrested.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And in 1973, they were basically both got away with rape and kidnapping.
£25 fine.
With a £20 fine. Yeah. A £25 fine. It's absolutely shocking. And this is what gets me with the fucking, it's like, how the fuck can you get away with something that horrific or with a fine? Do you know what I mean? Because they turn around and say, oh, it's circumstantial. It was a party that's gone wrong. There's two of us and it's my word against yours. But do you know what I mean? It's fucking winds me up.
It is. Well, it's as hard to get someone on a parking ticket as it is to a murderer. You know what I mean? You need
As Fred's concerned, this is twice he's been accused. Oh, more than twice where he's been accused, he's been caught, and he's been sentenced and got nothing, right? Yeah. Like, in fact, he did more time for stupid little things
than actually
what he did, right?
Yeah, totally.
So what was it? There was a case where he did 6 months for non-payment of road tax, right? Or it was a road tax violation or something like that, and he got 6 months, and that was the only reason why when they found the body of Charmaine that he wasn't pinned to that, and Rose took the blame off on that particular murder, because when they said when, you know, the pathologist got involved and they said, well, when was the body kind of time of death, it was during that period. Which kind of gives him an alibi as well, though. I totally agree with that.
So there is a possibility that Rosemary didn't actually do the murders, but she's the one that, you know, took pleasure in the activities.
Well, what I'm getting at is, for me, you can see how they were getting a bit sure of themselves, and they were kind of getting away with it. Really. Getting away with murder.
Yeah, how they haven't been spotted earlier.
Well, they continue to lure young girls to the house for grooming, for prostitution and abuse.
Yeah.
The police raided the house, but they were reported. Now, get this: the police were reported to actually use the place. Yeah.
Oh.
As you know, as a brothel, right?
Oh.
So
shit.
A number of them were probably keeping it hush hush.
Yeah. Yeah. And told them the info that you're going to get raided next week or something.
So, you know, but obviously Fred, later on, Fred was inside waiting his trial, but Rose was sat at home just basically chilling, and then Fred's turned around and said, "Well, last minute, I think it was like an Easter Sunday." Right, and he's a defence attorney's turned up to see him, right? And he just basically flipped his testimony. He said, I'm not going to be kind of defending her anymore, or this is the truth. But no, he didn't say what really happened, because obviously Fred West's story changed so much during the lead up. But then once it kind of got to that point, it's like the boy who cried wolf. It's like, oh, well, how can I trust what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
So obviously, elements that she was involved, I think the police already knew that.
Yeah.
But the fact was, they needed him to say it. Yeah.
Well, then hold on. Right. Okay, then. Let me just throw another case at you on that one. Right. So she must have known on what was going on. And you remember a couple of years ago, was it Finland or something? That guy, who locked his daughter downstairs in that
basement
for 30 odd years. Now, in that case, how did the mother get away with that one?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure she got away with that because it was hidden. How can you hide a big fuck off dungeon underneath that?
Well, because if no one goes down there and everyone's oblivious to it even being there.
Yeah, but he must have built it while he was in there. What, was she off at a fucking clinic for like 6 months or something?
Well, you never know. I mean, it was like, you know, when you move into new houses, you could discover that there was already a secret room or an underground tunnel. You never know.
Oh, I get that, but there are certain indications. It, like, you know, when you'd walk past a shop or something, there's a certain indication to make you think, you know what, let me have a look at that again.
You know that
like sixth sense of, that just doesn't seem right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
well, you know it's
that
something
long,
that's just kind of...
Yeah, she must have questioned it for...
There's loads of things like that, but I think a lot of the time people just don't get involved.
Yeah,
they just don't want to get involved.
Totally,
so it's like, this is how you kind
of... It's more hassle to get involved than just go... Ugh.
Well, this is it, and I think more people need to be a bit braver, because it's like when you see... like people being attacked or mugged or whatever, and people are more likely to walk past and just say, well, it's nothing to do with me, so I'm not going to get involved, you know.
Well, don't get involved, call the police, security, or ask someone, can you just keep your eye
exactly,
on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, there's ways of doing it without physically getting involved and getting your fists out or whatever.
You did a test a couple of years ago in one of the shopping centres, where someone would run past and rob someone's purse and run out the door, full of shoppers, a lot of the time no one just disregarded it.
Oh yeah,
there was every now and again you get, you know, the brave.
I nearly got mugged. Someone tried to mug me on a bus once, and you know, I put up a bit of a struggle. They didn't get anything off me. But when I came downstairs on the bus, it was a double decker, I came down the stairs and the bus was packed, right? And I just turned around and I went, did nobody hear that upstairs, that kerfuffle? I said, you should all be ashamed of yourselves.
Fucking
then
right.
And then I just got off the bus, but yeah.
Fucking right.
Well, in court,
Rose,
basically, she'd been arrested for the murder of Charmaine and other murders.
Yeah.
In
full 10, I think.
In connection with the murders at Cromwell Street. But when they got to court... Rose just basically snubbed Fred to the point where he kind of like, that was it then.
That was the cut off.
Yeah,
he
was like, well, no, I'm not defending you anymore. This is it.
My mothering's over.
So he said the night that they came to dig up the garden, she confessed everything to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically he loved her that much that he said he'd take the blame. So according to Fred, this was,
his accounts.
His admission to the murders. But he said he wouldn't admit to the murder of Charmaine. Yeah. Because obviously it was like his stepdaughter or whatever.
Yeah.
So Fred's stepdaughter went missing in 1971. And she was buried in the coal cellar of their old house on Midland Road, right?
Yeah.
So when he said to her, well, what have you done with her? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She basically said, oh, she's kind of bundled up in a blanket and, you know, put in this coal cellar. Yeah. And he was like, oh, you've not chopped her up, have you? And she was like, no, I didn't do that.
Left
that
duty for you.
So, you know, but again, the pathologists say that the time of death on this one was quite late. So I mean, he could have been in prison
at the time.
So,
but then again,
it's like, well, what? So it's like, okay, for him to murder the family that murdered together stays together. It's like I don't get it. It's like, yo, so I'm not allowed to go out and do it on my own.
No,
but I think the pair of them were both independently mental. So
psychological damage from birth, definitely.
Yeah, so he was actually sent down for a dodgy tax disc. So he got like obviously something really stupid, and he got 6 months according to the police.
Well, that's how they got the Yorkshire Ripper.
So this murder went to Rose, but the Fred's confession carried out, you know, saying that they were up to 20 more bodies.
20?
Right, and that he would offer the police one a year, from then on. But on New Year's Day in 1995. Fred was found dead by hanging, with a note to Rose saying that he would meet her in heaven soon. But Rose would be charged with 10 murders, including Charmaine, Linda Goth, and Heather, her own daughter.
Yeah, that sick bitch stay in there. She was a fucking dying there, that girl.
So, you know, she was convicted in court of all counts of murder. And basically the judge said that, you know, she'd never see the light of day again. No. And, you know, that's it. I think any time when, like, these fucking arseholes get, like, off with it because they've topped themselves, they all seem to do it, and it's like you've got away with not being punished.
Yeah.
Now, like I said last week, they should be fucking kept in a box with no way of doing that.
Even fucking moving.
It's like even Negan on Walking Dead, mate, he's getting, you know, kind of kept in a cage, you know, as punishment. You can't, you know, like, you know, this is what you should be doing. You shouldn't be getting to a point where you've got an easy way out.
But then it comes into the social problem of human rights. This is the problem with taking those people who should be taken down, is they use the rights of the normal person and use it for their gain, which, I mean, everyone could do that, you know what I mean? But a lot of people don't, because they're not psycho sick bastards.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, can you blame the, is it a reasonable, is it a reasonable sort of excuse to say it was the way you're brought up? And obviously, like, the way it was brought up, and it's like, environment, behaviours kind of based on my environment.
The problem is it holds some weight. Not all, but it does hold
obviously,
some weight.
In a court of law, I mean, you can say, well, obviously it was a product of my upbringing, but I think
he should know what you should do.
There's people out there who were just mental for mental sake, and they could have had a fucking great upbringing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Maybe fucking they had such an great upbringing that it was like, you know, they still have that psychological fucking damage because, you know, daddy was off earning the mega money to keep me living in this mansion, and now I've only got fucking the help.
Yeah,
that are bringing
me
up, and that's no sort of life, and it's finding that middle ground, isn't it? But I think fucking anybody who treats their own flesh and blood like that should be just fucking executed.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, but then you come to things like, right, you know, with social services and stuff like that. Now, I know where the problem is in that. It's
obviously, because it's like, well, no, I know, because you kind of, you're taking them out of one bad situation, you're putting them into a system, and it's like,
but they
it's not fair. It's not fair for the kid, and it's not, unless they can kind of be found a home that's going to look after them and
all the rest
of it, which unfortunately, that's many kids go through the system to a point where they're 18 and they're off on their own.
Left to their support.
And it's harsh.
They need more
because
support.
It's like, well, where's their kind of support network when they're over 18 and they've got nowhere to go?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think in terms of like people like the West, I think they took advantage of people who were down on the luck in terms of like the girls that they mentioned, like Anna McFall, she seemed to be one of them girls. I think Fred, to an extent, that's how he saw Rena at the beginning. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, and the people who've been, you know, psychologically looking at it, that they wanted to carry on the things that they were doing. Like Fred would drive and pick up someone.
Yeah.
Now Rose, she used to get picked up at a bus stop by her father.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. I mean, in the terms of psychology, it's like she's kind of seeing that as a pattern, and she sees that that's what you do.
And
this worries me. And I mean, it's a bit of a kind of a side swipe with this one, but I mean, this is what worries me about. Do you know when you know, internet pornography?
Yeah.
Right, so you've got internet pornography.
Well, they're bringing something in now.
Where
to stop
it's like
that.
Back in the day, it was like it was you know, you learn the birds and the bees
stuff,
right?
Yeah, you used to go in the fucking woods, didn't you, and find the magazine
there,
yeah?
But now it's like the kids are going up to the new girlfriends going, right, are you into fisting or you're into a bit of double penetration?
Showing
or,
them dick pics and shit like that.
Like,
well,
it's like, whoa, there, what, how about a kiss, boy? Yeah. What's wrong with a kiss?
Exactly. What's wrong with, you know, shout line dinner?
Yeah,
you know?
Hold your hand. Yeah, do a bit of courting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't kiss on the third date, you know?
Yeah, well, get to your third date. I think third date's acceptable.
How old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're too young, then obviously you get to hold hands.
Yeah, you don't do anything more than kiss
the pictures.
And cuddle.
But, yeah, I think, obviously, it was a two-part episode.
Yeah.
And we've kind of gone into, I think the last week was a bit more headgear in terms of like the information because it was quite harsh, a lot of it. This was the same, but it was kind of more, and I say cool. We're not defending anybody. I think like their mental state was a product of their environment and their upbringing, right?
But then it shows as well
that's society's fault, parents' fault, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I say, if you feel like you're fucking anyone, you know, displaying any sort of these sort of fingers, you know, you need to get them looked at. But anyway,
just one of them. It's like there's so many areas where it could have been stopped.
Yes, and this is what pisses me off because it always seems to be a court hearing where they'll get off with a fine, and then it could have been stopped there and then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, look at it right now. Right now, at the
minute. It wasn't like they'd gone in. Like I say, where is the justice in our criminal law system? In our system, when you've got a guy goes in, he gets 6 months for having a dodgy tax disc, but gets a £25 fine for rape and kidnap.
But he put himself away on that 6 month charge. Because of the way the law works. But look at it now. To compare then, to look at it now, it's gone a lot worse because the prisons are full.
Yeah.
There's not hardly any... There's 21,000 police been taken off the streets in the last couple of years.
They're pushing for more community support officers, aren't they?
Like, I think the Angels are going to come back out again, to be honest.
Manchester Angels?
Well, when it come out last time, I was in London, and the Guardian Angels come out. I knew a few people who was in it, and it was like, you know, just getting on the
street. So it's like a vigilante sort of...
Basically, they're dressed up in like...
I'm not wearing hockey pants.
I think they were in pink, actually.
Weren't like militant. Like when you said they're in berets, it's like I expected to, like, you know, like... walking around with paintball
guns.
Basically
what the police would do. They'd walk round, you know, see any trouble, go like, whoa, stop this, you know.
Is we need to form some militant patrol groups.
Well, if it carries on, it will come back.
Yeah. We'll be the people's army. Yeah. Join us.
Yeah.
Join us.
Well, that's what the police is, effectively. Effectively, the police are just a private army to the government.
We'll sort all these arseholes out.
Yeah. Get the people out there.
All these fucking murdering folk.
But now you have actually got people out there in communities that are walking around as if they were like police officers.
Yeah.
Because there's no police officer to actually go
inside. Communities in England, which is really funny, I don't know if you know this, but there's a couple of communities, and talking like the Jewish community.
Yeah.
I think some of the Muslim community, they have their own police forces. The Jewish community definitely do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have patrols around their area. So I think that, I mean, I don't know what their legitimacy is, but I think
as a civil person, you have the right to, you know...
To patrol your area.
Yeah,
you have
the right to patrol the area, and if you see anything, you can intervene.
I'm going to go superhero. I'm going to get my spandex on and get out there with my cape and solve some crime.
Yeah, man.
So, is there any shout-outs you got this week?
I have my bro. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Gaz.
41, you old bastard.
Oh, me, 41. Happy birthday.
Yeah,
enjoy
man.
Your day.
Yeah.
I've not really got any.
You got none?
No.
Fair enough.
It's not been too well this week, so, you know, I've not really got on it. But I'm pretty sure we'll have a whole page of them next week.
Yeah.
I have actually got a shout-out.
Ah, see,
I do have one shout-out, and I've shouted out for before, but Aliza, Over at iHeartRadio.
Yeah, great.
Absolutely
job. Great
wonderful.
Team over there.
There is a great team over there, and I'm happy to be on board with the iHeart family over there. And what they've done is they've put us in their top 10 in our category. So,
brilliant.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Great exposure. Thank you so much.
So
if you go to the iHeart website and you go to podcasts and drop down to paranormal, because he put us in the paranormal category.
Yeah.
We're there with Coast to Coast.
And
all the good big boys, and there are only 10 of us in the list.
Well, you know.
So thank you for that.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
Cheers a lot. Really appreciate it.
And people get out there and listen to it.
Obviously. We're available on other platforms as well.
We are.
A new one. That Podcoin, which I thought was quite cool, because you get to save points and you can donate them to charity,
or you
can put them towards
charity,
like gift cards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's just for listening to your own podcasts. It's great.
It is.
We're also available on like Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, iTunes, YouTube, everywhere you can find your listening.
Just type our name in, we'll
Candy,
be there.
Then we'll be there.
Yeah.
Type us in, Google us, because also, if you want to give us an iTunes rating, that'd be wonderful. We've not had any for a while. So I was like, and I put up a competition saying best rating would win a mug.
And it looks like it's Danford for it.
We've got a rollover for next week now.
Yeah.
So there's that. If you want to get in touch and send us a story, or just say hiya, or you know, you want a shout out or a plug, get in touch, and you can hit us up on neverstraightanswer@gmail.com. You can get us on Twitter @NASA_never, and you can get us on Instagram @neverstraightanswer And we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah,
we want more listener participation.
Yeah, we want to grow this for yous.
Yeah,
and
I think it's still going well.
Yeah,
and I think you know, we try and change up the topics and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So you don't get bored, and obviously you get to the episodes where you might think, "Oh, that's not appealing."
But that's
the beauty of our podcast. They're not kind of chronological.
You can go
back and listen to a.
Yeah,
whatever
we've got some great
you
ones.
Like.
Got some big ones as well.
Yeah.
Like Nibiru one. Dr.
Planet
Death.
X. The mysterious disappearing of Richie Edwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Loads, yeah. So go back, re-listen.
Yeah.
It's all good. Tell a friend as well, yeah. If you want to support us, you can get on Patreon.
Oh, yes.
And search Never a Straight Answer, and you can find us there. You can become a sponsor, Patreon. There's a couple of tiers, and I think we're getting some goodies to give out. Plus, there'll be a bit of extra content if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Also, you know, chuck in a book, and it's all going to help us
create
make
this
it better
adventure.
And get us new stuff and get us new sort of equipment and
so we could be on more as well.
We want to make stickers and stuff and badges and stuff like that to give to
we're
people.
Looking at all sorts
so
of
you know,
products.
It's all money, isn't it? So we need to help.
Well, yeah.
We need help.
That's it.
We do. So you can get us some merch if you want to check that out. Get to Dizzy Jam, Never a Straight Answer, and you can get hats and mugs and.
And flip-flops,
t-shirts,
and knickers.
Tote bags, and I don't think we do those, but I'm pretty sure for
you. Oh,
we'll
have a word with him. If you want them, you know, just send us a line.
What would you like? You name the product, and we'll slap our logo on it.
That's what you want.
We will do that for you.
Boom.
So I think that's pretty much it for this week, and then the conclusion of the part, our two-parter on Rose and Fred West.
Yes.
Next week, I think we've got a very interesting one. In our continuation of the month of murder.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not necessarily going to be a serial killer.
No. Murder could come from anywhere.
Murder can jump out of the bushes at you.
Yeah. It could even be a bacteria for all we know.
Murdering
bacteria.
Doesn't bear thinking
it
about,
does it? No.
Well, you'll have to find out next week. So if you
make sure
you tune in,
subscribe,
and you'll never miss an episode.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it for this episode of Never a Straight Answer.
That's right.
I've been Gaz.
I've been Taylor.
Peace.
Out. Oh, I need a pee now.